It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. You're about to enjoy the Ask Ross segment, brought to you by our good friends at 409tailgateclub.com. For all your barbecue, sauce, rub, and tailgating needs, check out 409tailgateclub.com. Speaking of 409 Tailgate Club, they are announcing a wine and barbecue evening at the Freeze Farm Winery in Berwick on Saturday, July 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. Barbecue, of course, will be provided by 409 Tailgate Club and will include pulled pork, beef brisket, and their famous wings. Included in the ticket price is a glass of award-winning tailgate wine, a frozen wine slushie, or a Berwick Brewing beer. Musical entertainment will be provided by Red Eye Tribe. And even better, the evening will benefit uplifting athletes. For more information, go to our website, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and go to the link provided on the right side of your screen. And we hope to see you in Berwick on Saturday, July 14th.
Nice.
I'm going to go up. I think my wife and I are planning to go up for the evening. Kevin Wilson, the district manager of Eastern PA for Labatt Blue, new sponsor of the Keystone Sports Network.
How can you be both the Ohio State offensive coordinator and Labatt Blue at the same time?
That's a good point. It's tough. You know, I have to wear a lot of hats and juggle a lot of things. That's why we got in Indiana. We were trying to get a little closer to home.
I mean, I know you kind of got demoted for Ryan Day, but picking up a Labatt Blue job on the side, I thought was really an interesting decision.
Got to pay the bills.
He's got the first question, Ross.
Oh,
Kevin,
no.
The floor is yours.
No.
The Ask Ross question, he's not going to be eligible to win the 409 Tailgate Club.
Why, is that in the fine print? If you're a sponsor, you're not eligible for the... I didn't know we had fine print.
We don't.
We're at the stage already as a company where you have fine print?
I don't know. Ask the boss. He's sitting over there. But don't forget, listeners, that if your question wins and deemed number one by Ross the Boss this week, you'll win a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. Kevin, the floor is yours. Fire away.
Couple things to start. First off, as I said, we're really excited to join this. And we know you have a lot of choices when you're out there buying beer. But just remember that if you bleed blue and white, you should drink blue.
Yes. Not the first time he used that.
So
it's the first time I've heard that, but I'm sure he said that before.
It took me about six beers on the 4th of July to come up with that one, but I'm pretty proud of it. And you know, as this moves along, we're going to start giving away some Labatt prizes on this show, too.
I like it.
So my question for you, Ross, I like to ask offensive lineman questions for you.
Okay. That's
where I feel like that's you know, your main wheelhouse.
Food, but
when it comes to recruiting, I feel like offensive linemen are among the lowest hit rates. A lot of four-star guys don't end up panning out. Great example, Sterling Jenkins. What is about that position, or maybe not, I'm wrong, but that makes it so hard to project success?
That's a really good point, because you're right. It does happen where, like, I remember going way back. I don't know if you guys remember this name. I think maybe the most highly recruited Penn State O-lineman ever. Do you remember this name? Scott Stratton?
I don't.
He was from Ohio. He was a top five guy in the country. And he was the same year as like Marco Rivera, Jeff Hardings, and all those guys. And Marco Rivera was like from upstate New York or wherever. And Jeff Hardings was like 240 pounds. But Stratton was 6'6", 310, Lakota West High School, I want to say, something like that. Top 10 player in the country. Never played it down for Penn State. And I'll tell you why. Because offensive linemen are, more than any other position, rarely finished products or close to it. But the ratings are based on how good they are in high school. So, and they're really just looking at a height, weight, size combination. But a lot of times those kids are like maxed out in how much better they're going to get. I usually like the guys that are like 260. But you can see are really athletic and play defense and are really ornery and really get after it. I think how these guys get ranked usually, if you're 6'8 and you're 320 and you can move at all, you're probably going to get ranked 4 or 5 stars. But that doesn't mean that you have the work ethic to improve or the football acumen or technique. So other than quarterback, offensive line takes the most intelligence. And I'm being, in all sincerity, I'm not like because of me. If it was just because of me, I would say more than quarterback. And I've seen guys – I mean, I can tell you guys, Tam Hopkins went to Ohio State. He was a rookie with the Redskins when I was. I mean, he was – the way that dude looked, and he was so talented, he didn't know what we were doing half the time. And even I've seen guys that they worked at it so hard. There's a kid in 07 training camp, Calvin Armstrong from Washington State. It was like his third or fourth year. The kid studied all the time. When we got and he anything you asked him, he knew it. When he was there and the end pinched and the linebacker came off the edge and he had the linebacker, he just couldn't. He just took the end going inside. He just couldn't see the forest through the trees. And I think it's technique and it's football intelligence a lot of times, which is not the same. Sterling Jenkins might have a 4.0 GPA. I don't know. But football intelligence is different. That's a good question. It's a shame you can't win.
I like that the offensive lineman from Princeton talks about how offensive linemen are smart. So he must be the top of the top right here.
He said acumen.
Acumen.
Acumen. I'm acumen. Sorry. See, that's what you get. Acumen. There you go. That tells you all you need to know.
Andy,
right
that
there.
Was the highlight of the day. Acumen. That was awesome.
Let's go to your questions, listeners. As yeah. All right, we're moving on. Greg in Camp Hill asks, he says, Ross, what is one situational or play strategy that Joe Moorhead employed that you would like Ricky Ronnie not to use? And is there one of those on the other side that you would like Ricky Ronnie to add to the playbook, like a situation or play package?
Well, I didn't like – I mean, we talked about this seemingly every week. I do not like their short yardage system.
So you want Moorhead short yardage system, you want Ricky Ronnie to blow it up and try another one?
Yeah, I mean, or if you're going to continue with what Moorhead did, you got to throw the ball or the quarterback needs to run it. You know, but – they have very limited run choices out of the gun, and it makes it really easy to defend that. I'd like to see them add some stuff for short yardage in the run game and or be more willing to throw it. Be more willing to throw it. By the way, I think a weapon in short yardage could be Tommy Stevens. I mean, he's 230 pounds. Go ahead, Bob.
So this is the perfect time for them to have Tommy and Trace on the field, and then Tommy's not in the backfield at the start. He's in the slot. Trace motions out, and then Tommy comes back under center at 235 pounds now. And rather than have a mesh point with the running back, just take the ball and get the yard. Because at 235 pounds, he's going to get the yard. I mean, that is how they're going to solve. That should be as good of a runner as Trace is. He's 195 pounds. He's not a guy that will necessarily get a yard. He might get 10, but Tommy's going to get a yard.
Trace is 205 now, by the way, and he took great depth on Saturday to remind anybody and everybody that he was now 200 plus pounds solid. But you're exactly 100% right. So okay, let's keep moving on.
It's a good question, Camp Hill.
All right. Let me put that as a good
question. I should stop saying that because then it's always a mind block for those guys.
All right. Let me remind you, you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and this Ask Ross segment is being brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. That's 409tailgateclub.com. Let's go to Kyle in Dover, Delaware. I realize the rumors about Manny Bowen coming back is just speculation at this point, but if he returns, would Penn State be better served using him as a middle linebacker or keeping him on the outside and letting someone like Jan Johnson run the middle for the 4-3 sets that they will roll out?
I don't think that they would put Manny in the middle. I don't think they should put Manny in the middle. He hasn't shown good enough instincts at outside linebacker to put him in the middle.
Yeah, that's
I mean, the
point.
Middle, you really need to have football intelligence, you know, that FBI we talk about, and that has not proven to be, you know, his thing at all, unfortunately. I mean, Bob, do we know anything about this Manny Bowen stuff?
Yeah, so we talked about it last week. I think
he's still in school, I heard.
Manny never was not in school after he was suspended, but the way that Penn State worded it when they basically said goodbye, wish him the best, you know, he stayed at Penn State, and I think I could see where Manny was very hopeful that he would be reinstated, but That's a tough one for James Franklin to kind of swallow and take somebody back after you suspend them twice and basically say they're off the team and wish them the best. I always read it, Ross, as that Manny thought if he got everything in order, did all the right things, that James would give him essentially a third chance. And I don't know that James was ever really – and I could be wrong. But, I mean, if it hasn't happened by now, I can't see how it's going to happen. It would have happened maybe at the end of spring is when it would have happened.
Speaking of Greg and Camp Hill's good question about Joe Moorhead, the guys earlier in the week, Dustin and Greg, they had Coach Moorhead on.
I know.
Go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or our app, Keystone Sports.
It's awesome.
Check that out and listen. It was a good interview. And by the way, our boss is now a huge number two. His number two team now might be Mississippi State. Yeah.
Nice.
He said we're to say that. He's like, that should be our number two team. I'm like, let Ricky Ronnie win 10 games on his own accord, and then they can forget about Moorhead and not say, gosh, I wish Joe Moorhead was here. All right, let's keep moving. Dave in Center Valley, PA asks, Penn State used to always have the starting quarterback walk off the blue bus first before anyone else. It was a great tradition that I wish James Franklin would restore. What is the tradition that you think is best associated with Penn State football? Also, will the Keystone Kickoff Show ever do some podcasts across Pennsylvania? I'd love to see you guys live, but I love the show. We are.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Well,
tradition.
I didn't know that they weren't doing that anymore.
I didn't either.
I thought that was cool. I think the best tradition is just the jerseys. I don't, you know, the uniforms. I don't know what part of it you want, the black cleats or the no name on the back or the helmets or what whatever part of the uniform. I'll just say the uniform, that's the Penn State tradition I like. Although I also like the the drum major that does the flip at the start?
Yeah.
I always like that too.
All right, let's go to Brad in Washington, D.C. He says, Ross, of the top 10 ranked head coaches in college football, Braden Gall from Althon Sports picked James Franklin as the most likely to go pro in a few years. He cited Franklin's ego as the main reason. Do you see Franklin realistically going to the NFL, and should Penn State be doing more to avoid that possibility?
I don't think Penn State really should be doing more, because if he wants to go to the NFL, he'll go to the NFL. There's nothing more they could do if he wants to do that. I don't really see that happening. I feel like his greatest strength is dealing with people, especially the recruiting aspect of it, and there is no recruiting in the NFL. That doesn't mean he doesn't know the X's and O's stuff, but I don't know. I think Penn State's a pretty good gig, man. I think he's been in the NFL. I think he realizes that. Greg and Camp Hill was the winner.
Greg and Camp Hill, 409, tailgateclub.com. Tailgate box is coming your way. That'll do it for Ask Ross. Stick with us. We finished strong with quarter for number four coming up next.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs, as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.